We begin the current daf Masechta the Brachos daf Mem. We begin on the top of the Amud, the top line. The Gemara continues the discussion of the halachas relating to eating bread. Specifically, the Gemara is going to be speaking about now regarding the halachas of Hefsik, about interrupting between the bracha and consuming the food item that the bracha was made on. So the Gemara begins. Amar Rav, tul bruch, ein etzarach levarach. If the one who made the bracha, who is the one that was cutting the challah for everyone sitting around the table, and they told people here, take from this thing that the bracha was made on, take from this thing that was made the bracha on, he was telling the people to make a bracha and eat it, although he himself didn't eat his piece of bread yet, he does not need to make a bracha. And that is, again, this person that he's making hamaitzi, before he ate his piece of bread, he went and he gave it out to everyone else, and he says, take and eat from this bracha that I made hamaitzi on. Even though he spoke in between, he does not have to go ahead and repeat his bracha. And although we learn that sicha, that talking, is considered a hefsik, is interruption between the bracha and the eating, as the Gemara Menachos and Daf Lamed Vav says, as we find by the tefillin shel yad and the tefillin shel reish, if someone talks in between, he has to make a new bracha, and similarly by kisei adam, by covering the blood, this talking is considered a tzirich bracha, it's necessary for the halachas of the brachas for everybody around the table, therefore it's not considered hefsik, and one would not have to repeat his bracha again. However, havi melach, havi liftan, tzarech levarach. However, if he told the people that were attending, he says, bring some salt, bring some relish for me to eat my challah with, then he would need to make a bracha again, because that would be considered hefsik, because he does not need. He could eat first a piece of bread, and then, so therefore it's not considered tzarech bracha, so therefore that would be considered hefsik, he would have to repeat his bracha b'meitz again. That's Rav Shita. Rabbi Yochanan amar, afilo havi melach, havi liftan, nami in tzarech levarach. Birchanan is even more makel. He says that even if someone says, bring zalts, bring salt, and bring relish, he also wouldn't need to make a bracha. And that is because this is also considered tzarech bracha, that the piece of the bread that you're eating, that you made the bracha on, should be eaten with a tam, with a geshmak, with flavor, as the Gemara later on will say that that's a necessary ingredient to have on the table, relish and salt, so that the bracha that you make on the mitzvah should be with a geshmak, with flavor, and therefore to ask to bring salt in between the bracha and the eating is not a hefsik. However, he says, gavulatura tzarech levarach, if he says that bring and knead the bran for the oxen, and that you should knead the bran for the oxen, that is that a person would be required to make a new bracha. And that is because they would go ahead and they would knead the bran for their oxen. That's not necessary right now for the bracha that you made on the mitzvah, and therefore that's a hefsik. However, Rav Sheshe Samar for the gavul turi nami and tzarech levarach, he says that even if you say in between you made a bracha, mitzvah lechem nartzi, about to eat the bread, he says, go, do me a favor, go knead the bran for the oxen, you would not have to repeat the bracha, and that's not a hefsik. Why isn't it a hefsik? What does it have to do with your eating your piece of bread? It's forbidden for a person to eat before he gets food for his animal. And therefore, if a person would eat before, he would be over on this issa. So therefore, it's necessary for my eating now to go ahead to say, to give food for the ox, so that I could eat. So therefore, it is considered tzarech bracha, and therefore it's not a hefsik. As the Gemara brings, Shinem, as it says in the pasuk, in the parasha B'hoyim Shemaya that we say in Kriyishma, V'nesati esev besadcha levhemtecha, it says that I will give the grass for your animals in your field. And then afterwards it says, V'achalta v'savata, that you will eat and you'll be satiated. So you see that first one must give food to one's animal, and then only then can one eat. And there's many stories with Tzadikim, with Netziv, he wouldn't eat the whole day until he made sure on Yom Kippur that his animal was fed. And there's an amazing story when an individual was being taken to the concentration camps and during the Holocaust and World War II. And as he was on the train, he was screaming to a friend of his that was still wasn't taken yet away. He says, Yankel, do me a favor, don't forget to feed my dog. Don't forget to feed my chickens, the animals that were there on his farm. And that we see because of the issa that he couldn't eat where he was until he knew that his animals would eat. That's geboit on this din of v'nasati issa besatcha levemtech and then v'chatz v'svat. And therefore, Rav Sheshe says that it's not going to be a hefsik if you say to feed your animals in between the bracha and eating. Similarly related to this, the Gemara brings the Amar Rav Bashmul Mashum Rebchia. In habetzei rishoy levtzaya, that the one who's making the bracha is not allowed to make the bracha and then to cut his bread to eat it. Until salt and relish is brought before every single person. Again, because as we mentioned before, that's considered tzarech suda, that the bread should be eaten with a geshmak. So therefore, that is why the other shita said, Haviyu melech, haviyu liftan, is not considered hefsik. So therefore, we have many different shitas regarding what's not considered hefsik, and therefore what is considered tzarech bracha, regarding why we wouldn't have to repeat the bracha, even though we spoke in between the bracha and eating. So now the Gemara brings, related to this, the Rav Bashmul Ikul Beresh Galusa, They went to the house of the Resh Galusa. Afiku le rifta ubatzi lehedya. So they brought him out bread, and he made a bracha immediately. He went ahead and cut it up without waiting for them to bring salt and relish. So Amrilei hadamar mishmaita. So they asked him, did you reverse yourself from the teaching that you told us that you have to have salt and relish before you make the bracha? So Amalahu less dain tzarech b'sheish. This bread that you served me, that does not need waiting. And that is, since it's what's called pasnaki, it's clean bread, it's finer bread, so that does not need relish, and therefore it's not a problem. We're only talking about lower grade bread. There it's not such gishmak a taste, so there you would need to have salt and relish, but such fine bread doesn't need salt and relish, and therefore I can make the bracha without that. Interesting, Taisa says that we are accustomed to not bring on the table not salt and not relish, because Taisa says that our bread, our chashiv, and it's similar to what the Gemara says, less than tzarech b'shesh. However, Taisa brings from Reb Menachem that it was very meticulous to bring salt on the table. And that's because of a medrash. That the medrash says that when Klal Yisrael is sitting on the table and they're waiting, everyone's waiting for the other one until they wash their hands and go, no, no one could talk, no one could do anything, and they're without mitzvahs. So the Satan is mekatrig. He's prosecuting and he's trying to bring a gezar din on Klal Yisrael because they're not doing mitzvahs then. So therefore the bris of melach, the bris of the salt, where there's a special bris with salt that we bring on our karbanos and we bring on the table, that protects Klai. So therefore he was very meticulous to have salt on the table, and then when they wash, to have the bracha of amoitz. So the Gemara continues with another statement from the same Amora. V'amar Rava bar Shmuel m'shur m'b'chia, Eimer glaim kolam ela b'yeshiva, that the urine does not completely empty only if the person is sitting. And that is, it doesn't come totally out of the body only if he's sitting, because the flow is going to stop prematurely because he's afraid that the droplets shouldn't fall on his feet, and therefore he's going to stop it prematurely. And that is because, as the Gemara says in other places, that where there is a concern that the droplets shouldn't end up on your feet, because there's a concern that people might think that his doesn't have a proper aver, and therefore they're going to say that his children are not really his children because it doesn't function properly. So therefore, people would be conscious about that, and therefore they would stop it prematurely. But if one is sitting, one doesn't have that problem, and then you could totally empty the bladder from the urine. However, Amar Rav Kahana, uba'ofer tichuach afilu b'amida, but if it's on loose earth, then even if someone is standing there, there's not going to be any droplets spraying back, so to speak, on the person's foot. It's going to empty onto the ground. It's not going to bounce back. And therefore there, even when one is standing, one will be able to totally empty the urine. However, yileke ofer tichuach, but if there is no loose earth, so what should a person do if he has to stand? Yamed b'mokum gevoye v'yashtun l'mokum adron, he should stand on a high place, and then he should urinate on a place which has an incline, so therefore it's going to drop down, and it won't drop, bounce backwards, and therefore you won't have the problem of it bouncing onto the person's foot. Another statement by the same Amar, v'amar rava bar shmo mishmed rebchia. Achar kol achilascha ochal melech, after everything that you eat, you should eat salt. And after everything you drink, you should drink water, and then you won't get harmed. And that is, there are certain principles, there are certain iodine and salt, and there's different ingredients, of course, in water that it helps with the digestive system. So the Gemara says, for whatever reason, after you eat, you should have salt, and after you drink, you should have water, and then you won't come to harm. Similarly, we learn the Braisa, after everything that you eat, you should eat salt. And after everything you drink, you should drink water, and then you won't get harmed. Similarly, the Gemara brings Tanya Idach, well, in another Braisa, Achel kol maichel v'lo yochel melech, if you ate everything, any dish, whatever it shouldn't be, and you didn't have salt with it, Shasa kol mashkem v'lo shasa maim, you drank any beverage and you didn't drink water, b'yoyim yidag min recha peh, at the day you should worry from bad breath, or b'layla yidag min askra, and that during the night you should worry about the constriction of a throat, which is a certain harmful disease that can cause one to death, chas v'shalom. That's how important it is to have salt with eating and water with drinking. A related halacha, the Gemara brings Torah Rabbanan, hamakpa achilasa b'mayim. Someone that floats his eating with water, in other words, he drinks so much after he ate, until, so to speak, his food is floating in the water that he drank, eina bo lidei chayla mayim, it does not come to intestinal illnesses. V'kama, how much water should that be? Amrav chizda kitun lafas, a flask of water for a loaf. In contemporary times, they say that that's 8 glasses, but the important idea is that to drink water is very necessary after one eats, and it helps with many different important processes in the human body. The Gemara continues with different halachas related to health. Amar Rav Mari, Amar Rav Yechanan, If someone is accustomed to eating lentils at least once every 30 days, he prevents choking from his house. In other words, there's a certain sickness that comes because of the so to speak, constipation of the intestines. And that causes this askra to come. And eating lentils helps loosen the bowels, and therefore it's healthy at least once every 30 days to have lentils. Of kol yom aloy, but one should not have lentils every single day. My time, what's the reason? It's difficult for bad breath. In other words, bad breath is always a symptom of different bacterium that infect the body, and therefore, since we see that it causes bad breath, a person should not be eating lentils every single day. Similarly, a similar type of halacha from the same Amora, Vamrav Mari Omer B'Yechanan, Harogel B'chardel Achas L'Shleishim Yom. If someone has mustard seed at least once every 30 days, Meinech Halom Mitech Beis, he prevents sicknesses from his house. In other words, a reference to his body. Avol Kol Yom Eloy, but not every single day. My time, B'Shem Nekosh L'Chol Shad Liba, it's difficult for the faintness of the heart. Too much mustard is going to be too much strain on the person's heart. And similarly, the Gemara brings Amar Chia Bar Ashi Amar Rav, Harogel B'Dogim Ketan. If someone is accustomed to eating small fish, which are herring and sardines, in the Bolide Choylem Ma'ayim, it does not come to intestinal sicknesses. B'Loyoyde, not only that, it has a positive. El Shadogim Ketan Ma'afrin U'Marbim U'Marbin Kol Gufish Alodim. These small fishes, they multiply and they so to speak, help the healthness, the overall health of the person's body. And that is, we know that there's fish oils and there's omega-3s. Fish have a lot of nutrition and different minerals that are important. And therefore, the Gemara says that it's important to eat fish at least once every 30 days. Amar b'cham reb chanina, harogel b'ketzach. Someone is accustomed to having fennel. And that's one pshat or Rashi brings that it's a type of Arabian seed. In the boladei ke'av lev, it does not come to heart pains. In other words, it's also an important part of a person's diet. So which the Gemara asks, meisvei, p'shim gamli loyme, ketzach, echad mishishim samoni hamavesu, that this fennel, or this Arabian seed, is one of the 60 type of poisons of death that there are in the world. And not only that, v'hayashin l'mizach gran, whoever sleeps to the east of the storage area of this fennel, and that is that the western wind blows, and that western wind is like a moist and a wind that it brings whatever is there in the environment, and it brings it into the person's nostrils when he's sleeping in his nose. Dame bereishe, that on his blood is on his own head. In other words, that it's a deathly mineral or ingredient, this ketzach, this fennel. So why are we saying that a person should eat it and he won't come to heart pains? So the Gemara says, loy kasha, habareiche habetamer, that the reach, the odor, is challenging and it's harmful to the person. The taste of this fennel is good and healthful for the person that it won't come to heart pains. And Lamaisa, the Gemara brings that Imei de Rebbe Yirmiyah afilei rifta, that the mother of Yirmiyah would bake from bread, umedavkile, and she would stick the fennel or this Arabian seed onto the bread until it got the flavor of it, and then umakafel, then she would peel it off because of the smell and because of the odor that's harmful, so she would get the benefit and remove the harm by so to speak sticking it on, getting the flavor, and then taking it off, that this odor would not harm her son Rebbe Yirmiyah. So the Agama returns to our Mishnah. Rabbi Huda says that the proper bracha on herbs is that Hashem makes different types of greens, different types of herbs, and not the general bracha of things that come from the ground of Bar Pri Adama. He holds that it has to be specific. So the Gemara brings Amar Zevri Timir Bchanina Bar Papa in Halacha Rabbi Huda. Halacha is not like Rabbi Huda. We don't make separate brachas on grains and legumes and herbs. We make one general bracha of anything that grows from the ground besides bread. Make a bari pri adama. What is the reason of Rabbi Huda that he makes different brachas for different types of things that grow from the ground? So Amakrat says in the pasuk, Baruch Hashem yom yom. Hashem should be blessed day by day, every single day. So the question is, what, only by day we bless Hashem and not by night? Why does it say yom yom? It's coming to teachers that kol yom v'yom ten loy me'ein brachayisa, that every single day should be a specific bracha reflective of the blessings of that day. In other words, Shabbos should have the blessings of Shabbos. Yom Tov should have the blessings of Yom Tov. So therefore, Rabbi Huda learned, hachinami kol min, here also every type of species, ten loy me'ein brachayisa, you should give from reflective of its own unique bracha, and that is you should be as specific as can be, and not just to give a generalistic bracha. And that's always the shvach when you're particular, when you're praising a child, and you just say you're smart. It's not as great as you say you know you really figured out that 1 + 3 = 4. You're very specific. So the Gemara continues with the same amor. V'amar b'zeir v'itemer b'chinda b'papa. See that the characteristic of HaKadosh Baruch Hu is totally different than the characteristic of a flesh and blood. That is, midas bas of Adam, a regular person, klei reken machzik, that an empty vessel, it holds something. Mali ain't a machzik, but if you have a full vessel, it won't hold it because it's full already. Of HaKadosh Baruch Hu ain't a kin. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not like that. Mali machzik, a full vessel that holds something, that is a smart person that's already full, he could hold other things. Reikon and a machzik, but an empty person, an empty vessel, that does not hold anything. Shenema, it says, a pasuk in Shemais. V'yoyimim Shemoya Tishma, it says that Hashem says, if you will hear, you will hear. So what's the repetitive, what's the redundancy of Shemoya Tishma? That has to tell you that im Shemoya, that if you hear, in other words, if you hear one time, then Tishma, then you will ultimately hear another time, you will, so to speak, be attentive to hear something else. Vim lav loy tishma, and if you didn't hear the first time, you won't hear the second time. That is only the kli mole is machzik, and the kli reka, and the one that hasn't heard in the first time, won't hear the second time. Davar achar, another interpretation of that pasuk. Im shemoya biyashan tishma b'chadosh. If you heard the old ones, in other words, that you reviewed twice and three times what you heard yesterday, and you're reviewing it, then tishma b'chadosh, then you'll hear by the new ones, and that is, you'll understand the new learning if you're constantly reviewing your old learning. As the pasuk in Devarim says, "Vim yifne levavcha." However, but if he turns away his heart, shuv. Then the pasuk says, "Lo tishma." Then subsequently, he won't listen. That it's only if a person is reviewing his old learning, then he'll hear the new learning. But if he doesn't, then he won't hear. He won't understand. He won't be attentive to the new learning. Now the Gemara continues with the second mishnah in our perek. Regarding Hilchas Brachas, as our parak talks about, however, specifically regarding if a person makes a mistake regarding the proper bracha that should be made. The Mishnah begins, Berech al peres se'ilon bari pri adama. Let's say a person made the improper bracha. In other words, he made a bracha on the fruit of a tree, which would be bari pri eitz, he made a bari pri adama. Hashem makes the fruits that grow from the ground. He's yatza, he is yatza, because ultimately the tree comes from the ground. Val peres se'aretz bari pri eitz, lo yatza. But if he made a bracha on the fruits of the ground, which are some vegetables, Hashem makes the fruits of a tree, then he's not yetzer because vegetables do not come in any which way or form from a tree. Val kulam, and if on all these types of fruits or foods, a person named Omar, he says, shahakal nebidvari, he made a shahakal, then he's yetzer because that's a generalistic bracha that includes everything, and therefore, b'diyevid, if one did that after the fact, he would be yetzer with a shahakal. Now the Gemara inquires about the Tan of our Mishnah. Man tana de ikra ilon arahi. Who is the Tana of our Mishnah that learns that the main root, so to speak, of the tree is the ground, and that's why you would be yaitza with a bari pri adama on the fruits of the tree? And that is, this mandam would say that the ikra of all the pears is really the ground, and it's really drawing its nourishment and its essence is coming from the ground. Who is that Tana? That's why you yaitza again with a fruit of a tree with a bari pri adama. So Amar Rav Nachman b'Yitzchok, Rabbi Yehuda, it's Rabbi Yehuda. The Tana, as we learned in the Mishnah, and that is, this Mishnah discusses if someone had a beis hashlach in an irrigated field, and in that field there was a mayan, there was a river passing through, which would, so to speak, water the field on its own. And then he went and he took off bikurim, which are the first fruits that grow in the field. And then afterwards, the river dries up. Similarly, another case would be that if he has a stay ilon, which is a fruit orchard, that and then he took off bikurim, he took off the first fruits from it to bring it up to Eretz Yisrael, to Yerushalayim. And then afterwards, the tree got chopped down. And therefore, we're going to see in the Mishnah that will make a difference. The Mishnah says, Yavish Hamayin, if the stream in his field dried up, or v'nikta tse'ilon, or the tree was cut down. So then we have the fruits already that were taken off. But then the so to speak, the source of it, the stream or the tree was chopped off. So then the halacha is maybe v'nikari, you bring the bikurim, but you can't recite the parsha that is said generally, customarily, when the bikurim are brought. And that is because you can't say anymore the pasuk that said, min ha'adam asher nesatili, that I'm bringing the fruits from the land that you gave me, because since this river dried up, the stream dried up, or the tree that the fruit came from got chopped down, so therefore there's no more ara, there's no more land anymore, because that is what the real land of it is when there's the stream or if there's the tree, and therefore since that's not there anymore, you can't recite that parsha anymore. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, maybe Rabbi Yehuda says, no, one could bring it and one could recite the parsha, because again, he's like the town of our Mishnah that says that the Oretz, the earth, is the Iker, and therefore even though there's no stream or if there's no tree, ultimately the main Adama, the only thing that's necessary at the end of the day is the actual earth, and that's still there, and that's why he would hold it that in our Mishnah that your Yitzah, again, with a Bari Priya Adama, B'diavet, on the fruit tree, because although the tree is not there anymore, in other words, that's not what you didn't make a Bari Priya Eitz, Bari Priya Adama is good enough, because Hadama is ultimately the source of all fruits, even a fruit tree. So now the Gemara returns to the Mishnah that said that Al Peir Sa'aretz, that on the, if a person made on the a fruit from the ground, in other words, like a vegetable, he made a Bari Priya Eitz, he's not Yitzah. So the Gemara says, Pshita, isn't that obvious? I mean, it's not a tree. In other words, a tomato doesn't grow from a tree. How can you make a Bari Priya Eitz? So the Gemara says, it was necessary to teach this halacha that we would think otherwise, according to the Shita of Rabbi Yehuda. The Amma that he says, Chita min ilanhi, that he says that a wheat is a type of a tree. And that is because, as we just brought, that Rabbi Yehuda is the town of our Mishnah. So therefore, according to him, we had to exclude, because although wheat is something that grows from the ground, he considers it a type of a tree. The Tanya, as we learned in the Braisa, there's a machloikis regarding Ilan sha'ochel mimeno admirishin. What was the tree that admirishin ate from? We know he ate from Eitz Hadas, the tree of knowledge. What tree was that? Remeyer Megevin Hayer Meyer says that it was a grapevine. Why is that? She'en lecha davish, maybe yulal ala adam eliyain. There's nothing that brings as much wailing on man as wine. And this brought death to man. Now, as it says in the Pasuk, regarding Noyach after the Mabul, it says, Vayesh min hayayin vayishka, that he drank from the wine and got drunk, and what ultimately ended up happening is that he ended up cursing Canaan, and we see how much wailing came out of that. So therefore, he says that the Eitz Hadas was a grapevine. Rav Nechemiah Eimer Te'eno Heiser. Rav Nechemiah says that it was a fig tree. Why is that? Shebedavish niskalkalu by nisaknu. Because the thing that Adam became debased through, that is the same thing that HaKadosh Baruch Hu makes him set it right. HaKadosh Baruch Hu always uses the same medium that a person can ruin himself, is the same thing that he could fix himself. Shenem, as it says in the Pasuk, V'yitpiru ali te'ena, that it says that after they realized their nakedness and they had done wrong, that they sowed for themselves leaves of a fig tree, and that is, we see that they were hiding their shame with that, so that was, so to speak, a ticken for the Chet Eitz Hadas. So therefore, he says that the Eitz Hadas was a fig tree. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, and this is the shita that we're bringing for Chita Haisa, he says that it was a wheat tree, that it was a wheat, so to speak, a wheat stalk. She'ena tinnig yudea likris abe v'ima at she'yitim tamdogen. Why is that? Because it was called the Eitz Hadas, the tree of knowledge. What is the thing that a child eats and that it will bring him das, that he has knowledge, that he can understand, and he could say tati mami, that he starts to talk, that he has that cognizance? That's only when he eats from wheat, and therefore he says that is what the Eitz Hadas was. So therefore we see that it's called Eitz Hadas, the tree of knowledge, that we see that he's considering a wheat stalk, that although it, so to speak, it seems to be a grain that grows from the ground, but since it's like a stalk, he considers that a tree. So therefore the Gemara says, I would have thought, since Rabbi Yehuda says that wheat is a type of a tree, I would think so therefore that you can make a Bari Priya Eitz on it because he's considering it a tree. When do we make a Bari Priya Eitz on something? And now the Gemara is going to tell us that a tree has different dimensions, different definition regarding what area of halacha we're talking about. Hilchas Brachas has a different criteria for Eitz, a tree, then let's say, so to speak, the concept of Hashkafa, of what was the Eitz Hadas regarding the Chet, that it was wheat. And that is, for regarding Hilchas Brachas, it needs a specific criteria. That is, Hechadi Chishaket Lelepeh, that's only if one would pick off the fruit, Isi Lagavsa V'hoder Mapik, that then the branch would endure, and it would produce again the fruit. And that is, as the Taisa says, the Taisa wants to say from here, that depending on the berry, it depends on what type of berry it is. That if it's on, it would be a Bari Priya Eitz, it says, because certain types of berries grow on a tree that last a long time. And then when you take it, it's still there the following year, and the berries continue, and it's a perennial, so to speak. It comes back, and it's still there. So then it would be a bar priyetz. But if it's a certain berry that the bush, totally, so to speak, totally is not there anymore, and then you have to replant it, then it's going to be a bar priyadama. We'll continue on to mem amud beis. Aval hecha dechishak lelepei. But where it is that you take the fruit less legav so the hadam apik, then the branch is not there anymore to go ahead and then, so to speak, replenish and reproduce the fruit the next year. Then loy mevachina le bar priyetz el bar priyadama. Then you do not make a bar priyetz, only a bar priyadama, and therefore, although chita is, so to speak, an eitz, and conceptually regarding the eitz adas, but regarding hilchas brachas, there we don't consider it a tree, because we know that wheat, you have to plant every year again. It doesn't just regrow on its own. The stalk does not stay there, and then the grain replenish. So therefore, it's going to be a bar priyetz, and that's the chiddush we have to tell you that, although he considers it a tree, but for hilchas brachas, it's not. So therefore, on the wheat, you will not be yitzah with a bar priyetz, and you would have to repeat the bracha of bar priyadama. So if we see that, again, regarding brachas, it has different definition, that it needs continuous, and that is why banana, for example, although it resembles a tree, it's, since it does not regrow, it would require a bar priyadama, not a bar priyetz. Now the Gemara returns to the Mishnah. The Mishnah says, v'al kulo, but on everything, b'diyavid, after the fact, if you made a shahakal that says that everything is made with Hashem's words, there you would be yitzah on whatever the thing is, whether it's a vegetable or fruit. So itmar, we learned, however, there's a machlokes exactly how far this category goes. Rav Huna amar chutz min hapasim l'yayin. It includes everything besides bread and wine. And that is, since the Gemara in Daf Mem Bei says that these two, bread and wine, cause their own brachas for themselves, even times when you're not even eating it because you're hungry or you want the taste. For example, by Kiddush, which can be made on bread and wine, and Avdallah, and we make by a chuppah, by Birchas Chasanim. So therefore, since they have this certain chashivas, Shahakal will not include bread and wine. Rabbi Yechonam, Philip Hasbiyan, Rabbi Yechonam argues, he says, no, Shahakal, at the end of the day, will include even bread and wine, and it'll be Yetzah B'dihavit. So the Gemara wants to say, Nemeketanor, let's say that this machlekes between Rav Huna and Rabbi Yechonam is a machlekes Tanoim already earlier, as we learned. It says, Re'ei Paz, V'omar, Kama Noa Paz Zuev. Let's say someone sees bread, and he says, wow, how beautiful is this bread. Baruch HaMakim Shebra, blessed is HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the omnipresent that created it. Yetzah, he's Yetzah, and that's already considered a bracha. Raw te'ena, if he sees a fig, v'amar kamano te'ena zu, baruch hamakom shebra, let's say, and he says, how beautiful is this fig, Hashem should be blessed that he created, yatsa, his yatsa divir emeir, that's the sheet of emeir. Rabbi Yisraimer, no. Kol ha-mishanam imapeya shetovu chachamim bebrachas, whoever deviates from the formula that Chazal prescribed for the proper nusach of brachas, lo yotzi dechavos, he's not yotzi, and you have to make the proper bracha, whether it be ha'et or ha'maitzi, not yotzi with these different phrases that were said in this brisa. So the Gemara says, Neima Rav Huna, let's say Rav Huna, who says that you can't change this specific bracha, for example, by wine and bread, the Amak Rabbi Yossi that he holds, like Rabbi Yossi, says that it's also to be mishana, that you're not allowed to change from the nusach that Chazal made. Rabbi Yechonon, the Amar Kremeh, and Rabbi Yechonon says like Kremeh that they both hold that you're allowed to change that after the fact, although the proper bracha on bread and wine is Hamoitzi and Bari Priagafen, that if you made a Shahakal, you'll be Yaitza, similar to Kremeh that says that, yeah, if you say a phrase that, so to speak, says and blesses HaKadosh Baruch Hu and thanks him, so they'll be Yaitza. So therefore, it would seem that's a Machlikas Tanaim. So the Gemara says, no, each one can answer that every town is like him. Amalucha Rav Hun, Rav Hun will tell you that although he says it's forbidden, and you're not yetsa with a shahakal on, let's say, wine and bread, he'll say, I'm not the Amri Afil Remeir. I can even say, even like Remeir, who says that you're allowed to change the nusach and say this nusach of Baruch HaMakim, just saying different words that were never instituted by Chazal, because Adkan Lekam Remeir Hasam, because when did Remeir permit over there that nusach? Elehecha de Komat Kishmei de Paz, because ultimately, at least you're mentioning the name of bread. You're saying, Kama no Pazu. You're mentioning the fact that you're blessing Hashem for the bread. But where you're not even mentioning bread at all, which is the bracha of Shahakal, doesn't make any mention of bread. Even Ramey would agree to me that you would not be yitz on the bread and wine with the generalistic bracha of Shahakal. And same thing by Rabbi Yechonon. Rabbi Yechonon Amalacha, he'll tell you that although he permits Shahakal on even bread, I could even be saying like the sheet of Rabbi Yossi that says you're not allowed to change from the proper bracha. Because Adkan lekam Rabbi Yosi Hasam, because when did Rabbi Yosi over there say that it's forbidden to change? El mishum dekama bracha dulei tekin rabbanon. Because that individual is making a blessing that was never instituted by Chazal. They never made this phraseology of baruch hamakim shebara that kamano pazu. But if at least a person would make a shahakal on the bread of the wine, which was instituted this phrase by Chazal, a filler Rabbi Yossi might even Rabbi Yossi would agree to me that you'll be yitzah after the fact on the bread and the wine. Therefore, it's not muchach that some achalik tanoim. Each amayir could say that both tanoim would agree to him. So now, related to this machleik, is the Gemara brings a story that Binyamin Raya Karach Rifta, that Binyamin the shepherd, he was eating bread. And he said, Baruch Mari the high pita. He says, wow, Hashem should be gebenched that he made this bread. Thank you, Hashem. Amar Rav Yatsa. Rav said that is yitzah brich samazin. You were yitzah, you benched already. But again, the Gemara asks, V'amar Rav kol bracha shem baras karas Hashem and the bracha. Rav said that any bracha, any blessing that doesn't mention Hashem's name is not a bracha, and he didn't mention Hashem. He said, Baruch Mari, the high pita, blessed is the master of this bread. Yes, that means Hashem. So you, so to speak, you thank Hashem after you ate, but you didn't say Hashem's name. So the Gemara answers, D'amar Baruch Rachmana Mari the high pita. He mentioned Hashem's name. He said, blessed the merciful one, which Rachman is one of Hashem's names, that is the master of this bread. So the Gemara says, okay, fine. So you mentioned Hashem's name. The halacha of Berachas Hamazon requires three brachas. It requires the first bracha of Hazan Sakel, Noidulcha, and Uvenei. So he only said, so to speak, one bracha. So the Gemara says, my yotza de kama Rav, nami yotzi de bracha rishayna. What did we mean that Rav said that he's yotza, that he fulfilled his obligation? It means he fulfilled his obligation of the first bracha of Berachas Hazan, and then he could continue with the second and the third bracha. So the Gemara wants to understand this. My Kamash Malon, what are we telling us? Of course, that you write to the first bracha, he said it. He said, Baruch Rachman the high pita, so which essentially is the same as the Zan Sakel. And we said it doesn't have to be the exact words that was instituted. So what's the Chiddush? So rather, it must be that Avagav Damer B'Lashon Chol, that even though he said it in a secular vernacular, he said it in a different language that wasn't Hebrew, so that's the Chiddush. But that Tanina, we learned that already in the Mishnah Saita. Says, these are the things that could be said in any language. The parasha of Saita, which is when the Kohen makes the Saita, the suspected adulterous woman, to take a vow, that could be said in any language. Vidu Meiser, which is after 3 years, where a person has all his Meiser that was piling up, that he has to get it, he has to remove it from his house. He says the pasuk in Devarim Chavav, Bi'arti HaKodesh Min HaBayis, that I removed the holy, which is in a reference to Trumas HaMeiser, from his house. That could be said in any language. Ukriyishma, the Pasha of Shema, Utfila and the Shemona Esrei, Ubirchas HaMazon, and benching. So we see that Birchas HaMazon could be said in any language. So what would be the Chiddush? It's a Mishnah already. Why do we need the Amayram here to tell us this Chiddush that you Yaitse? So Gemara says, Itzruch. I would still need the halacha that we mentioned here. That, well, I would have thought when the Mishnah over there in Saita says that you yaitze Birchas HaMazon in a secular language, that's kihecha to the kinyan rabbanan b'lashon kodesh. That's if you said it exactly, so to speak, linear interpretation, that it was instituted in lashon kodesh. In other words, you say Baruch Atah Hashem, you say the whole bracha, but in English. So to speak, you're reading from a interlinear interpretation, so that would work. But if you didn't interpret word for word in English, so to speak, from the Hebrew, and rather you made a loose translation, as we said over here, that Baruch Achmona Mar the High Pita, that you would not be Yotze the Chiv of the Baruch HaBazon Sakel, that is a Chiddush, that not only are Yotze in English or any other language, but even if you said it in a loose translation, it's still going to fulfill the Chiv of the Baruch HaBazon Sakel. So now the Gemara returns to something we mentioned in the conversation before, Gufa. Omer Rav, kol bracha she'im bar eskaras Hashem ein the bracha. Rav said that any bracha that does not mention Hashem's name is not a bracha, it's not a blessing. Hashem's name has to be there. So then the Gemara brings a different Amor that argues, Rabbi Yechon Amar, kol bracha she'im bar malchus ein the bracha. That any bracha that does not have also Hashem's kingship, that's also not a bracha. As we say many times, melech ha'olam, it needs to have Hashem's malchus. So Amar Abaye, kavaseid Rav, Mr. Abaye says it makes sense that the loch is like Rav, that it does not need kingship, it only needs to have Hashem's name. Titania, as we learned in the Braisa regarding Vidu of Meister, again, that's the statement that a person says when he's removing the Meister from his house, and he says, I don't have any more in my house. He says the following pasuk, Le'yavarti mi mitzvah, I did not transgress from your mitzvahs, from your commandments, v'le'shachachni, and I did not forget. So the Gemara Darshan's in that Braisa, Le'yavarti mi l'varechacha, I did not transgress from blessing you, which is the bracha one is supposed to make, Baruch Hashem Kedushanu b'mitzvaysav, that Hashem sanctified us with His mitzvahs, with Sivanu l'hafresh Truma Ma'isa, and He commanded us to separate Truma Ma'isa. And what's v'lishachachta? And I did not forget melahaskir shimchalav for mentioning your name in there. In other words, I mentioned Hashem's name in that bracha. V'ilu malchus like katani. And the Brisa doesn't say that I did not forget to mention your name and your kingship. So you see that a bracha does not require malchus. So the Gemara answers Rabbi Yechonah Tani. Rabbi Yechonah learns that Brisa in the following way. It says v'lishachachti melahaskir shimchu umachus chalav. Now he learns that it says that I did not forget to mention your name and your kingship on it. So therefore, it's not a raya to Rav the way Rabbi Yechon has his gears in that brisa. Now the Gemara begins the third mishnah of our parak regarding the bracha of shahakum. So we mentioned the brachas of fruits of the tree, which is bayi pir eight. We mentioned the bracha of the fruits of the ground, which are bayi pir adam. Now we're mentioning the bracha of shahakum because we also mentioned hamaitzi, which is an exception to the things that grow from the ground. And we mentioned bayi pir agafim, which is an exception to things that grow from the tree. And now we mentioned shahakum, which is the generalistic bracha, things that don't grow from the ground. As the Mishnah says, and all the things that do not grow from the ground, Omer Shehakol Nimidvari says the bracha of that everything is made with his words, which are, includes ala choymetz on vinegar, vala noivlois and on altered dates. The Gemara is going to explain exactly what are noivlois. Vala gevoy and a locust, Omer Shehakol Nimidvari, the Tanakhama says that these things are all included in the bracha of Shehakol, that although, let's say, for example, naivlois grow on the tree, but certain things there say they get downgraded, so to speak, from their specific bracha when they're not as ultimate as they should be. It gets joined into the generalistic bracha of shahakal. Behuda Eimer, kol shu min kalala im avarchen lav. Behuda says that anything that's a type of a curse, which includes these three things of vinegar, naivlois, and gevoy, because vinegar was wine, but it got spoiled, and these naivlois were good dates that get altered, and locust is always a sign of a curse. Therefore, he says, you don't make a bracha on it at all. And therefore, it's not like the Tanakhama that says it's shahakal. Now, the Mishnah continues regarding the halacha of kedimo, about which bracha takes precedence when you have a few different things to make a bracha on. Ha'ilafon of minim harbe, if a person had many different species in front of him, what's the first thing you should make a bracha on? Behuda Omer, em yesh b'nei min shiver. Behuda says if there's at least one of the seven types of things that Eretz Yisrael is praised in, Allahu mevarach, that's the thing you make a bracha on first. You make a bracha on that before other food items. Say you can make a bracha on whichever one you want, which is the concept the Gemara is going to explain of chaviv, whichever one is more precious to you, endearing to you, that you like better, you can make a bracha on that before, let's say, grapes or something that's one of the shiva saminim. Now the Gemara brings a brisa that explains our Mishnah. Tan Rabban, al davar she'en gedulim in the arts, on something that is not grown from the ground, kugain bus or behemoth, for example, the meat of domestic animals, or chayis of wild animals, of oifers and a fowl, of a dogum and a fish, you make a shahakal, ala cholov on milk, vala beitzim and on eggs, vala gvinin on cheese, oimer shahakal, similarly you make a shahakal, ala pas she'ifsha on moldy bread, vala yayin she'hikrim and on wine that's spoiled, vala tavshal she'avitzurasa and on a dish that was turning, so to speak, it got spoiled. Oyim shahakal, there also have the bracha of shahakal, that although these things generally had a different bracha, but since they got spoiled, they get downgraded, so to speak, to a shahakal, and it doesn't have what its original bracha was. And the brisa continues, ala melech on salt, vala zamet on brine, vala chmein on truffles, or patrias on the mushrooms. Oyim shahakal, there also one makes the shahakal. So the Gemara asks on the brisa, lememer to kamein or patrias lav gedul karkanin, is that to say that truffles and the mushrooms are things that do not grow from the ground because they didn't get downgraded, didn't get ruined, and they're not a type of a curse? So why is it shahakal if not for the fact that it doesn't grow from the ground? But Tanya, but we learned the brisa regarding when a person takes a vow. It says hanoidimi peresar, it's someone that takes a vow from that he's not going to have hano, he's not going to eat from the fruits of the ground. Also be peresar, it's he's forbidden from the fruits that grow from the ground. But he's permitted to have truffles and mushrooms. That's if he says the fruits of the ground. But if he says that anything that grows from the earth is forbidden on me, then he's forbidden even from truffles and mushrooms. So you see that mushrooms do grow from the ground because it's included in gedule karka. So then the proper bracha should be boi pri adama and not a shahakal. So the Gemara answers, Amar Abaye, Mirva rovu me'ara, correct, that it grows from the ground. And that is, however, main ki lo yan ki me'ara, but it doesn't draw its nourishment directly from the ground. And that is, as we know, that mushrooms are, so to speak, like a fungus. And that is that they grow from the moisture that's on the ground. They grow on pieces of wood or on different vessels. So therefore, although it grows from the ground, it's including gidule karka, but since it doesn't directly draw its nourishment from the ground, rather from the ear or from the different elements that are there, as fungi tend to do, therefore the bracha is shahakal, and that's why mushrooms are unique, that although it grows from the ground, one makes the shahakal, not a bayi pradama. But then the Gemara asks, but v'ha'al davash in gidule min ha'aretz katani, the first price that we mentioned, when it was talking about mushrooms, it says that these are the things that don't grow from the ground. And these are the things that are shahakal, and one of those things were mushrooms. So therefore we see that it doesn't even grow, not only that it doesn't get its nourishment, but the other brisa says that it is including gedulei karka. So the Gemara says, Tani, we should learn that brisa, and then mend it, al davash ein yoynim minika haaretz. That these are the things that don't draw their nourishment from the ground, which includes mushrooms, and that's why mushrooms, although it grows from the ground, and therefore if one says as a vow that will not have pleasure from anything that grows from the ground, it will include mushrooms, but since it doesn't draw its nourishment from the ground, so therefore it's not a bayi pri adama, and rather it's shahakal. Now the Gemara returns to the Mishnah that says v'ala nevlois, that on nevlois there's a machlekes if it's shahakal, like the Tanakama says, or there's no bracha at all, like Rabbi Yehuda says, because it's a type of a curse. So the Gemara has my nevlois, what are nevlois? So we have machlekes, Rabbi Zeira, Rabbi Lo. Chadam abush lekarma, one says that it's sun-scorched dates, and that is that it was cooked and burnt in the sun and they got dried up, so therefore it's not as high-quality dates anymore. The Chadam Ritamer Dezeka, one says that it's wind-blown dates, and that is that the wind blew it off the tree. So the Gemara brings a Mishnah now. We learned in our Mishnah Tanan, Rabbi Yehuda Omer Koshu Min Kalala Ein Mevarachin Lav, right? We're arguing about Nevlois. In our Mishnah, we learned that Rabbi Yehuda says that whatever is a type of a curse, which includes Nevlois, one does not make a bracha on it at all. So now the Gemara wants to understand. Bishlam Elamandam Abush, the Kam, according to the one that interprets Nevlois as sunburnt dates, Zahin the Karle Min Kalala, that's why it's cold, according to Rabbi Yehuda, that's a type of a curse, because the sun dried it up, and it's not what it could be. So therefore, there's not going to be any bracha on it. Elamandam Tamid Zeg, but according to one that says Nevlois are windblown dates, my Min Kalala, what type of curse is it? All it is that the wind blew it off, and it's on the ground. It didn't get any ruined. So the Gemara answers, Ashar, correct, that Rabbi Yehuda was only arguing on vinegar and on locust, that's what he says you don't make a bracha on, but correct, he would agree that nevlois are shahakal because it didn't get ruined. However, the Gemara brings ikadam, that those that say a different version, which takes the question one step further. Bishlam elaman dama bush lekam, according to the one that says that nevlois are sunburnt dates, hayne de mevachin alay shahakal. So that's why we understand the Tanakama that says you make a shahakal, that it gets downgraded because it's not what it was, and if it doesn't have a bayi pri adama, it gets downgraded. Elaman dama tamid zeka, but according to the one that says that it's windblown dates, shahakal? Bayi pri etz mebayi lele bruchi. You should have to make a bayi pri etz because it didn't get ruined at all. All it did is it got blown off onto the ground. So the Gemara concedes and says as follows. Ele b'nevlois stama, but rather by when there's an unmodified word of nevlois, as in our mission that only says the word nevlois, kula amaloi pligi debush lekamen. And everyone agrees, as is the case in our Mishnah, that it refers to sunburnt dates. And that's why Rabbi Yehuda says it's a type of a curse and you don't make a bracha at all. And the Tanakhama says you make a shahakal. Ki pligi, when did we have this machlokes between Rabbi Zeira and Rabbi Lo? That benevlois tomorrow. When the terminology that's used is specifically these two words of the nevlois of dates. And that is, as we have a ditnan, as we learned in the Mishnah Masechtas Demai. It says, hakalin shebet demai, the things that were lenient regarding the halacha of demai. And that is, there were certain fruits that the Chum were makel regarding the halacha of demai. That we know demai is that someone that takes from Amma Aretz, he has to take of Meiser because of Suffolk. He's not sure if the Amma Aretz, the ignorant person, if he took of Meiser or not. But certain things that come with Mekel that you don't have to take of Meiser. And these are the following things, as the Mishnah says, Hashisin. The Gemara is going to explain all these things, what they are. Hashisin, Bahariman, Vuzradin, B'noi Shuach, B'noi Shikma, V'gufnit, V'nitzpa, V'noivlis Tamar. And that is where we have the Machlekes, where it says v'nevlois tomorrow, as the Gemara is going to bring, that is where we had the machlokes if it's sunburnt or wind blown. But in our Mishnah, everyone agrees that it's sunburnt. And now the Gemara explains what are all these different things that we would make regarding demai, which was bought from Amma Aretz, that one would not have to take off ma'isim. Shisen, Amma Rabba Bar Bachana Rabbi Yechanan, that is mintain a type of figs. And those things, again, all these things are not chashiv. And that is, therefore, an Amma Aretz would not be so concerned about taking off a tenth of it, because it's not so chashav. In other words, the quantity is a lot, it's not worth that much. And therefore, we don't have to be suspectful that he didn't take off Ma'isa, and we could take for granted that he did, because they're not chashav. And one of them is Shisan, that's a type of a figs. what a rimin, that's kandi, that's a type of a, that's lotus. Whose radin is tulshi, that's sorb apples. But no yishuach, amar rabba b'bachana rabbi yechanan, that's te'eni chivarta, that's white figs. But no yishikma, amar rabba b'bachana rabbi yechanan, that's duvli, that's sycamore figs. Gufnin, that's shili gufnin, that's the late season grapes. Again, all these things are things that are not so chashev, and therefore you don't have to take off mice, and we say that the amaretz probably took off. Nitzpa, that's percha, that's the caper. Noivlo is tamara. Now we come to the case, the last case of that Mishnah, which is noivlo is tamara, the noivlo is of the dates. There is where we have the machlekes, Rabbi Lo, Rabbi Zeru. Chada mebush lekama, one says that it's sunburnt dates. V'chadam ha-tamadizeka, one says that it's windblown dates. And now the Gemara explains. Bishlam ha-lamadam ha-bush le-karma, we could understand, according to the one that says that Noivlis Tamara are sunburnt dates. So ha-indikton, ha-kal and shabit-mai. That's why I said that these are the things that were lenient regarding the halach of Demai. And sveikon hu de-pater, and that, therefore, the suffix over here, that we're not sure if the Amaretz took off or not, did yipater, and that is because ha-vadon chay. But what it would mean is that it's when it's definitely that the Amaretz did not take off. In other words, if I know that he did not take off mice from it, then one would be obligated because it has would have the regular din of requiring to take off meiser. But according to the one that says that it's windblown dates, in other words, the Mishnah Demai is saying that this suffix case where we're not sure if the Amaretz took off, then you're pater, which is mashma, that if he definitely did not, then even all these cases, one would have to take off meiser, which includes the windblown dates, according to the one that says that that's nevelis tomorrow. But is that true? Hefkerininu, they're hefker, they're ownerless. And because since it flew on the ground, there, so to speak, he's miyayish, he gives up on the date. So therefore, anyone that picks it up is taken from hefker. And we know there's halacha regarding ma'isa that you're not chayav take off ma'isa from hefker. So why would nevelis tomorrow require when there's chayav and you only putter when it's a suffix? It should even be putter when it's obvious that no one took off ma'isa. So my answer is here it's talking about ma'iskin ish asin geirin, that he had made it into a pile. In other words, the poor person, or whoever went and picked it up from the ground, he went and made a whole pile out of these windblown dates, that there one would be chayv. Why is that? That although all these things are part of a meisa, when you gather the leket, or the shikha, which was forgotten in the field, or what was left in the corner of the field, if you make it into a pile, then hook full of meisa, and it's established for the chayv of meisa. And that is, although it's part of the ma'isim in the Torah, but if the poor person gathers it and makes it into one big pile, the Rabbanon consider it established for ma'isim, because whoever sees will think that it's the produce from his own field. And if he's not going to take off ma'isim, people will suspect him of not taking off ma'isim. And therefore, although it's really putter, that's the case of Tamid Ezeket, that if you hold that it's windblown days, that it would be chayve ma'isim bevadoin, because again, it's talking about a case when he made it into a pile. Igadam, there are those that say that the question was in reverse. As we continue on to the top of Mem Aleph, Amid Aleph, the Bishlam Amid Aleph, Tamid Ezeka, that it's understandable if it's Noivlis Tamar refers to windblown dates. Hainu da hachi karala Noivlis Tamar. So that's why it makes sense that in our Mishnah we refer to it as just Noivlis, because in our Mishnah it's talking about sunburnt. Vahasim karala tomorrow, whereas over there in the Mishnah of Demai we call it Noivlis Tamara, we give it a different terminology because that's talking about windblown dates. And that's why it makes sense why we give it two different terminologies, because they're referring to two different types of cases. But according to the one that learns that it's that Noivlis Tamara refers to sunburned dates, Nisni Idvi did Noivlis Tamara, or Idvi did Noivlis Tamara. So then let either our Mishnah over here and the Mishnah Demai either both be just the singular term of Noivlis, or both be Noivlis Tamara, because they both mean the same thing of sunburned dates, to which the Gemara says Kasha. It's a difficulty. It doesn't totally deconstruct that opinion, but it's something that has to be understood in the proper context. So therefore, we have at the Gemara conclusion that there's only machlekes, what is Nevelis Tamara regarding if it's windblown or sunburn, only regarding Demai by that Mishnah in Masechtas Demai. But our Mishnah, everybody agrees that when it says Nevelis, it means sunburnt dates, and that's why either it's the Bracha Shahakal, like the Tanakama, that it gets downgraded because it's sunburned, it's all dried up, or it's as Rabbi Yehuda says that there's no bracha at all because the minklala, it got totally ruined, and that's why there's no bracha, as is the case by locust and by vinegar.